Welcome to Fast Forward, a series of conversations featuring big thinkers in philanthropy. The series is produced by the Minnesota Council on Foundations.
Hi, I'm Levi Weinhagen, Communications and Media Specialist at MCF. Akhtar Badshah is the founder and chief catalyst of Catalytic Innovators Group. He led Microsoft's Global Community Investment and Employee Program for 10 years. Akhtar will be speaking at the Minnesota Council on Foundations annual conference, giving our closing keynote presentation the afternoon of October 29th. Go to mcf.org for more details. In the run-up to our annual conference, I got the chance to briefly chat with Akhtar about the work he's doing now and about how he views impact investing and mission-driven work.
And what would you describe the work of Catalytic Innovators Group?
So what we are really focused on are three things. One, to provide strategic guidance to foundations, nonprofits, corporations, so they can effectively create programs, or that they can create programs that will have high impact in today's changing dynamic of social investment and corporate philanthropy. Because in our mind, the environment in which we do social investment is changing a lot. So that's one piece. The second piece is, again, you know, coming at it from the perspective of that there is this changing context and social order in which we are doing philanthropy. How can we convene conversations amongst people, philanthropic leaders, social leaders, other leaders, so that you can actually start challenging some of the assumptions that we have been left with over the last several years, where people have been talking about, hey, there is a way in which you can create more financially viable projects and efforts to serve the poor. And I think that in that process, we are losing some of the moral and ethical dimensions of what social investment is all about. You know, there is some value to using sound investment principles and to, you know, have measurements and create impact and add value. But if you start thinking about these just from a financial perspective, then you start losing some of your moral and ethical compass. That needs to be the prime filter for social investment. And I think the Pope on his visit over the last several days has been reminding us of that. So that's the second aspect of the work that we're doing. And then the third aspect of the work that I'm doing is teaching at the university so that we can actually imbue the students that are going to go out into the world with some of these issues and some of these ideas and some of these efforts so that we can get more people that have a much better sense of how to be responsible citizens.
I know in your previous work, one of the initiatives you worked on was the Digital Partners Social Enterprise Laboratory.
Yes.
And I know that had a big mentorship component as well. I'm curious how much you think about teaching and mentoring as just another version of philanthropic work.
Yesterday I was in the Bay Area with Charities at Work had done their fall forum, and they had invited a lot of the companies in the Bay Area around conversations on employee volunteerism and employee engagement. And I was basically challenging them around conventional wisdom of what is expected and how individuals that sit in the corporate environment that bridge both the corporate world and the social world have a far more important role to play than just being an effective avenue by which you provide opportunities for employees. So I think that this notion of going out there and being leaders and trying to bring in principles that challenge the status quo, that actually help people to rethink what we are doing. I mean, you know, just one of the big issues with this DARPA frame drug, where, you know, it increases from $13 a tablet to $750 a tablet, all based on business principles, is just an extreme example of how suddenly financial returns are driving an industry which at the heart of it is all about social service. So these are the kinds of things I want to be able to kind of get into the heads of our students so that they would not be afraid to challenge the status quo.
That is an extreme example, and that's a very current example. But you then probably have conversations with students or even with other leaders who you're working with or groups you're speaking to where they want to know, how do I make a program, whether it's a corporate giving program or some other program, sustainable while also making it have the most impact that it can possibly have and not lose sight of the good that it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and what do you mean by sustainable? I mean, you know, is it financially viable?
Right.
So then you already used a wrong moral compass in my mind, that finance is driving your approach to what should be, what is the right thing we need to do. So you can't then say, I want to play in that sector. Don't play in that sector. Go play in the for-profit sector, right? And I think that, you know, people are not willing to challenge. I mean, you know, if you want to play in this sector, then you have to kind of use the ethical dimensions as your compass. And then figure out ways in which you can function effectively by creating revenue that allows you to have that impact. You know, there are excellent tools that have been used for centuries that allow us to do that, which is contributions people make, fundraising that people do, services that people provide. And, you know, now you even have a tool, right, for benefit corporations are being set up. I mean, Kickstarter just announced that, you know, it's not going to go for an IPO and it's registered itself as a for-benefit corporation because they don't want to be in the business where they have to continue to scale and exit and profits become the driver for what they're doing, which does not mean that they're not generating revenue. But by saying that we are going to be a B Corp, they're also saying that they're not going to become extremely wealthy.
Would you say that's an example of an organization, I don't know if that's fully correcting course, but seeing themselves heading in a direction and deciding to really reevaluate and refocus their goals and their mission and their larger objectives?
Correct. And, you know, I mean, Etsy is a B Corp, right? But Etsy went for an IPO. So Patagonia is a B Corp. So, I mean, there are companies who basically gone out and said that we are going to have a dual-purpose company. And this is going to be part of our strategy and our mission and our guiding principles, which may mean that they are not going to become multi-billionaires, but will have thriving companies that will service and provide much needed value to the sector.
Do you have in your head good examples of really successful global philanthropic efforts and then really successful, very localized philanthropic efforts?
I mean, there are a lot of successful efforts, right? And they've had lasting impact. I mean, you just take some of the work that has been done over the last several years in the healthcare space. You've had some major success. Eradication of polio, the malaria effort, the HIV effort, the vaccine effort, I mean, the Green Revolution, you know, Rockefeller Foundation put their money behind it, which actually helped eradicate famine and created conditions in which research was done to create better, longer-lasting crops. So, I mean, you know, there are just so many examples that we tend to kind of forget that they've had major impact. And some are much harder to accomplish and others can be done in the short term. I mean, you know, even when you look at some of the challenges that people have had in different parts of the world to overcome child slavery, which requires you to pass laws, which requires you to fight against a prevailing system, it requires you to think differently. So clearly, a lot of fantastic effort. But then, of course, I mean, you know, today you're also getting some very interesting work that is happening with impact investing. Impact investment funds have been set up. And, you know, there are places in which you can set these up in a very effective way where nonprofits are becoming hybrid models where they're bringing in both philanthropic dollars to continue to do the research at R&D and then creating products like solar lights, like certain kinds of agriculture-related effort and working with the private sector to create effective ways in which you can, you know, address resources around energy, food, healthcare, education. So clearly there are lots of different examples in which we made a lot of progress.
This is probably off topic, but I think it's sort of interesting. I know you're also an artist. You create painting and visual art, murals, and you've been doing that, I think, for quite some time. And I wonder how that work influences the way that you connect with people when you're doing your work as an entrepreneur and a humanitarian, and how your work in the social sector impacts your work as an artist and as a creative person. Do you see connections between the two?
I mean, I think the connections are because you really cannot compartmentalize your life. I mean, you live one life, and there are many dimensions to your life, and everything that you do has some threads and relationships. So clearly my artwork, yeah, does reflect who I am. I have a style which is very unique, and it has its own impact. In fact, I'm giving a major talk at a convention in Singapore, you know, before I come out to you all. And there, they've actually taken some of my art and they're going to blow it up and create posters to hang, because part of the work, part of what I'm going to be talking about is the whole issue of, you know, and this is a conference on financial services, and part of the things that I'm leading is, you know, financial services for the poor, and I'm using some of my artwork to also kind of highlight the plight of the refugees, but the fact that, you know, these refugees are very different. Everybody is walking away with an iPhone, which is fantastic, because that kind of gives you an opportunity to do so much more with them in terms of services that you can provide. And I was challenging the Apple woman who was at the event yesterday by saying that, you know, hey, you guys are all over the refugee news, because every time they show a refugee, they have a cell phone in their hand, it's an iPhone. And
right. What
are you guys doing to help them to effectively utilize that device so that they're all leaving money behind? And what kinds of services can you put on there?
Yeah, that sort of gets at the social responsibility Apple would have, that they're the most
Yeah, but it's
accessible.
Also a business responsibility in some ways. Anyways, it's their phones. They've already sold it to them. And now, you know, what apps can be developed very quickly that can actually help them through this crisis by pointing out locations for shelter, connecting people. Facebook is trying to do some of that, right? Connecting people who may be in Hungary that might actually want to help them, or in Slovenia, or in Germany, or in Austria, or in Greece, or in Turkey. There's just all sorts of stuff you can do. And the same thing here now, right? With the refugees that are coming, I mean, you know, immigrants that are coming across to us. Instead of kind of, you know, talking about let's build a wall, let's create a system by which we can actually make them far more effective and they can contribute very quickly to the society.
A few pieces of your artwork that I can see online, one thing I notice is they all seem to have some sort of face represented. And I hear the way you talk about the work that you do and the way you see other people, how you think they should approach their work. It also seems like a lot of you want to remind people to be aware of the face of wherever it is you're doing your work. Who are the people? What are the faces actually look like that you're serving or you're impacting?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things that yesterday, I mean, again, I was at this conference, you know, one of the issues that I raised is to be an effective intermediary in this space. If you want to be able to do things that is going to serve people, you've got to be able to get down on your knees and taste the ground on which they walk. If you don't do that, there is no way you would be able to help them. I mean, this is just a metaphor. Clearly, if you're going to be in serving, you know, the Pope is in some ways, yeah, of course, I mean, you know, his ability to do things and our ability are night and day. But the fact that, you know, he is willing to go out and say, I'm going to break bread with the homeless. If you're going to go out in the community, go live with them. Go talk to them. Understand their pain. Visit them. Sit with them. Empathize with them. Learn from them. And that creates a very different bond. And many, many, many of us do that. But many of us forget to do that. And, you know, we want to just fly in and fly out and see immediate impact. We want to we want to run to the next shiny object. I mean, you know, that's all fine. But we have to, we cannot forget that these things take a long time.
Well, I know we're really excited, as I said, to have you come into town in about a month. I know people can follow you on Twitter at AkhtarBad, AkhtarBad. And it's a good way, I've found it's a good way of sort of seeing the various places you're speaking and you're highlighting a lot of these same issues. So I would certainly encourage people to do that in the run-up to the conference as well as after. But I really appreciate your time talking to me today, and I look forward to hearing you speak when you're actually here in Minneapolis.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this Fast Forward podcast, please share it with your colleagues and visit us at mcf.org for resources on grant making and individual giving.